The Left Wing Back podcast is brought to you in association with Earth Spas, PFT Travel, Paddahorn Photography, Murray's Bar Ballymurphy, Ray Whelan Limited, Porrit Dun Motors, Talbot Hotel Carlow and Curra Sports.
Good evening and welcome. The legend that is Kevin Regan is out of action for a couple of weeks. He's swapped his microphone and headset for nappies and suitors for a while, and that's allowed to. So massive congratulations to him and Niamh. I'm here to take you through the next, hopefully, hour or so, depending on how long I can survive with my two guests, who are the two legends that are Edel Hayden and Ella Malai. Welcome to both of you.
Hello.
Thank you. Hi.
Now, the two of you are a little bit far away from your respective microphones, so just come a little bit closer. The first thing I have to say to you is massive congratulations. The whole county is talking about you. You've even reached as far as the council chamber in Carlow because there was a clamour to be the first to congratulate you today at the April council meeting. So that was that. But I don't know, it's hard to know where to start, because Edel, for you, you're soldiering so long, it probably feels like a mad sense of relief. And Ella, for you, you're relatively new to playing senior county, so this just feels like it's probably expected. Edel, go at you first. Has it sunk in yet?
No, kind of starting to now, all right, but I suppose it was so long coming for us all, really, and a lot of even supporters and players that had played down through the years. I suppose it was just so long coming, and even when the final whistle went, like, even today's kind of after, I don't think, it just didn't feel real, like, because we're used to being at the other end of it, you know, on semi-finals and different things. So it's kind of only now when we had the little breakaway that you kind of, it kind of gets to set in a little bit, but it's absolutely brilliant. Brilliant for Cardiff ladies football.
I remember it must be 10 years ago when I was with the Carlow people asking Anya Kinsella to do a report on a Carlow women's match, and you featured heavily in at that stage. So that's obviously 2014 and you were playing at that stage. So you're on the go a while, in fairness.
Yeah, no, it's a long time. I think I started out with Brendan Hayden and Geraldine Marge on an under-16 development squad. So I kind of was took into the junior panel then, kind of when I was 15, say. So it was 2001, I think I started the first game. I think it was against Sligo or someone like that. Like, so it's a long time. It's a long time to do Leinster finals at, you know, to show for it, I suppose. So getting over the line this week was just unbelievable. Like, you know, it's like winning, and I know you want to get to Crowbar and Doors, but it's like nearly you're all Ireland there, and then, like, you're, you know, you take. Yeah, it was good.
100%. Fair play. And then, Ella, like, you're new on the scene. This first or second year with the senior panel?
This is my third year now, yeah. I was called in when I was 16, so yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, confession, because I still think of you as being 12, so for those that don't know, I could open the window here and shout and Ella would hear me just that close to where I am. But, okay, so third year on the panel, and after the excitement of the win and the celebrations and all that goes with it, does it start to feel, does it start to feel real, or do you still feel like it's something that...
Well, I think for us, like, obviously, I've been through, like, the highs and lows of the team. Like, I was a part of two of the All-Ireland semi-final losses. But I think for us, like, we obviously haven't been in the panel, like, very long. So the win is just, like, unreal. Like, it feels like we're just on this high, obviously, from the Leinster Junior Championship last year. And then this as well, like, it honestly just couldn't be going better at the minute, yeah, so... Yeah. Loving it.
One of the things that obviously stood out this year was the amount of drawn games. and please forgive me, I wasn't, just so much going on, I haven't been able to get to any of the games, but I follow very closely on Twitter, and it got to the stage where I thought I had to refresh that I was still, you know, typing Carlow Ladies GA on Twitter, and I thought, well, that must be a tweet from last week, because there was, like, again, it was drawn. But having to battle games out to get draws, or to be it to stay in games or hang on to a draw, is there a certain element of building toughness with that? Do you think the draw stood to you, like, go to Dell there?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like, I think, I suppose Ed is with us the last 3 years now, so we're kind of have been building something in the last 3 years. Like, it doesn't just happen overnight. So I think, just with the kind of core group of us been there for the last 3 years, like, we really, this year, kind of after our loss last year against Down, like, we kind of nearly, most of us decided in the dressing room after that game, like, that we, I suppose, we were coming back, and Ed was saying he was going to give another year. So just with having him there and just the experience he has and knowing players, and after getting some of the younger girls come in as well, we knew from the start of the year going forward that it was going to be a really strong panel. So I think today against Fermanagh, when we went down 2-8 to no score at half time, and that dressing room at half time just kind of, I think it kicked off from there. We just, Ruth gave a speech at half time, and we just went out and got the draw back. And for a team to go down 2-8 to no score, I suppose at any stage it'd be kind of ruling them out, you know. And we just dug so deep in that game. The weather was so bad as well, and just to come out of it then with the draw, you know. And then the same with Longford, like, probably on a different year we probably would have gave in nearly and kind of dropped the head, you know, but we just kept fighting until the last whistle. And I suppose the same against Fermanagh in the semi-final, like, it was literally the last kick of the game we won. So I think we're really mentally, like, we're so much more mentally prepared as well now as physically, and I suppose fitness wise as well. So yeah, it's looking good for us this year now so far anyway.
And are the days gone of kind of struggling for pitches and that? Does Fenne come into play there? Because I remember the great, got his name, won't come to me now, O'Brien, more involved with the Camogie. Oh my God, why won't his name come to me? It'll come back in a second, but I remember him coming to me more so about the Camogie at the time, but he wanted me to do an article about how difficult it was for ladies teams to, especially county teams, to get access to pitches, not just for matches, but even to get a club to be willing to, you know, give the teams access for training. Just, like, I hope those days are long behind us. Is that where we're at? Either of you can take that, I don't mind.
Yeah. No, I don't think, I think last year probably wasn't as much of an issue, but I think this year now, to be totally honest with you, there's no point in and sugarcoating it either. Like, I think we have been struggling to get pitches, and like kind of knowing kind of days, just say we could have training on a Wednesday and finding out at lunchtime where we're training and different things like that. So I suppose just with the bad weather too, the pitches haven't been great around, and then all the club teams are coming back as well. But it is a serious issue for the ladies, I suppose, at the moment, especially, like, you know, we are, after getting that success now, and we are putting in huge work, like the same as any other county team around. And I'm not sure if any other county team has issues that we have, but I suppose, like, a pitch is kind of one thing you definitely need anyway, you know, and especially a county team going forward.
Now, you'd imagine with Division 4 champions next year, your names now, hopefully, maybe that brings with it a certain amount of, I suppose, recognition. But it shouldn't take that. You know, you'd never come across a situation where a lads county team, be it hurling or football, wouldn't be able to get access to a pitch. And like, I suppose, Adele, you would have been used to that sort of a backward setup going back, say, years. But say, LA, in your case, like, on teams you've been playing on since you started, have facilities been an issue even for, say, your new generation? Sorry, Adele, I'm not saying you're old, but just, you know.
Well, yeah, like, as Adele said there, like, year, our training nights were always like Tuesdays, where like just purely due to pitches, we had to change it to Wednesdays there early in the year because they actually just could not be got. Like, as she said, like we'd be sitting waiting, meant to have a match that evening, and then we get a message, it's called off, like there's no pitch. So it is hard, like it is hard for teams to be able to progress when that is the standard and you know what the standard is for the lads. Like, as you said, a lads county team wouldn't really suffer from it.
And in terms of access to Fenna then, do you guys have access to Fenna? Is that a ridiculous question to ask?
I don't think so, no.
No, I don't think we have. We haven't had it this year anyway. I don't think we've had it yet, have we, Ella? I don't think so.
No, we played one match there, like even for the county grounds. We haven't played in the county grounds this year either.
I think we were hoping for the double header in Dr. Cullen, but it didn't go so.
Lord of mercy on Kathleen Mullins. The 2014 county finals, I remember it was the first day I realised that the reason why the ladies junior, intermediate and senior finals were all on the one day was because it was the one day Dr. Cullen was given, the women had permission to use the grounds. Just like insane. So now I presume if we were, and to offer some balance to this, I presume if the county board were here, they'd say, well, maybe the ladies teams aren't asked to contribute towards the running of Fenna or whatever the case may be. But without stating the absolute obvious, if you guys had access to a regular pitch and the same way that every other county team does, that can only benefit you, right?
Yeah, 100%. I think we had Milford for a long time, which was really good because it was like a base for us, and we knew where we were and we knew where we were going all the time. So it was really good because you could plan, right, well, the girls in Dublin knew where they had to go. And, do you know, because there's some girls that are travelling from Dublin, Brian, and like they're literally, yeah. I suppose, like they don't know whether they're going to have to go to Clamore, said they don't know whether they're going to have to go to Aroke, to Dryden, Tullow. You know, so it's just when we had the structure there of Milford, I suppose it was just a lot better for us. But that fell through last year, half a drawn year.
What happened there? I probably should know this.
I'm not too sure now, being honest. It just I'm not too sure. I think it was something to do with the county boards anyway, with the pitch, yeah. But we haven't been there since now. So yeah, well, it was a lot easier when we had a pitch that we knew we had was our kind of home pitch to play nearly. So yeah, it's unfortunate now, being honest.
That is nuts. How is the rest of the year shaping up? Is there, like, are you still have you taken a couple of weeks off, or what's the plan for the next few weeks?
Well, we're on a 2-week break now at the minute. We're going back Friday after the league, and then our Leinster Championship actually starting on this Sunday. So we have that then for the next kind of month and a half or so, and then we'll move into the All-Ireland series right up until August, where we hopefully play in Croke Park. But yeah, it's a long season. Like, we've been training since November, but
and it's the hair in the back of my neck stood up there at the thoughts of a Carlo footballer speaking with such confidence about playing at Croke Park as if it was just kind of expected, which is great. You know, usually it's opposite of what you hear. And for those people who would be clicking into the left wing back for the first time and seeing you guys maybe being interviewed for the first time, talk to us about championship structure. Who do you meet? What's the how many games might you have to play to get to Croke Park? Tell us about the structure.
So Leinster Championship, we have we start out this Sunday, and then it goes till the 5th of May. We play Kilkenny. We've Longford then in between and Loud. So then the 19th of May is the Leinster final, and then the 2nd of June then starts off the All-Ireland series. Now we have London, Fermanagh, Sligo and Derry in that group. So it is a pretty tough group. Like, Roman will be probably looking to back on us, you know, and Sligo coming down, I suppose, as well. So
definitely. And so you're so you're guaranteed to play in both competitions, which is
They're like nearly two separate competitions now, like really the Leinster Championship, but then everyone kind of has everyone else obviously then in the All Ireland series, then it's totally different. So everyone's back in, like there's no knockouts or anything like that. So
yeah. Brilliant, brilliant. I have to ask you then about your teammates as well. I think there's a set, and it was really obvious at the council meeting today. There was everybody knew somebody connected to the team, and everybody wanted to mention that person. Now, thankfully, there wasn't a whole. But anyway, long story short, you look like on every interview I've seen, and in pictures and things that go up, you genuinely look like a really close-knit bunch. Is that like, is that the case, or is there is it a case of the results have put smiles on faces, or what's the group like? Either of you can take it.
I think we've all just at this point like been through the complete highs and lows together. Like, we really just bonded even over the last few weeks. Like, I think it kind of took the likes of the Fermanagh game there early in the season where we came back from 14 points down. It's after putting this kind of like a bit of a belief in the team, and everyone just has each other's backs. Like, we know no matter what the team is, who's playing, like everyone's just so supportive of each other. Like, obviously I'll be one of the youngest in the panel, and like there's everyone's just getting on like so well. Can just walk up to anyone. We're all like a big family, really. It's great.
Has that always been the case, Adele?
You come to me for that one.
Yeah.
I know it probably hasn't, I suppose, over the last few years. Like, sure, you know yourself, you'll have club rivalries and you'll have different things going on. But at the end of the day, when you've County Jersey, I suppose, and everyone comes in and you have the same goal. So you all want to progress and do, you know, get to Croke Park. And so, like, I think it's kind of left, maybe there might be one or two kind of things throughout the year, but like it's left on the pitch. If there's anything in training or anything like that, it'd be left on the pitch, and everyone knows anyway. Like, it's only, you know, like any tackles going, anything like that, like it's only nearly for the better of the team, you know, and there's nothing personal in any of it. So but this year, I think, and I suppose we've 25 this year where we had 40 last year. So I think from the start this year, we were just a lot closer, and you're getting to talk to everyone now, because when you're 40 there, like, it's hard to get around to everyone the one night. But now there's a great buzz, and a few of the younger girls as well, like they're good crack, and they bring a great freshness, I suppose, as well, like, you know, so it's really good. Yeah.
And right, so in every group, every football team there's ever been, there's always somebody who's going to be late. Who's the late person guaranteed on the panel?
Maeve O'Neill.
Is that, would you agree, Adele? You would?
Yeah, 100%.
Does she at least have a good reason? Is she one of the ones coming from Dublin or something, or is she just going to be late?
She's just studying for a leaving cert.
No, just, yeah.
Yeah, and talk to me then. What's the one they used to have on Soccer AM? The Joker in the pack. Who's the kind of not class clown, but who's the one who's going to say the thing they shouldn't have said, or who's that person?
I don't know. Katie is definitely this year. She's just so funny. She could come out with anything at any stage. So she's probably the joker, the group now this year anyway.
And then who's a manager's pet? And don't tell me there isn't a manager's pet. There's always a manager's pet.
Rudy.
Sinead. Is that who you're saying?
No, Root. Said Root.
Yes.
Did you say Root?
Sorry, when we were, well, say we, People don't believe this. I was part of a county minor panel one time. Actually, Ella, your dad was a manager. That might explain why I was even allowed on the panel. But we had a lad who shall remain nameless, who on any given night would go around, and when your back was turned, he'd shoulder you in the back. And not like, not messing, like put you on the ground. So he was a joker in the pack in terms of kind of banter. But is there an on-field messer? Is there someone who could turn around and stick the ball over their own bar or something like that?
No, Sarah Dyded, it just kind of be messing around all right between sliding tackles and soccer things and stuff like that. Now, I don't know if I go as far as putting the ball over the opposition. over the opposition, but she is now, she even coming up to big games, I could nearly have to be like, now stop, she'd take the two legs off someone. And stay with Sinead Hayden, it's pretty much the same. They're Gasser and Eve Murphy as well, they're just they are on field messers, I have to say.
Who's the fittest player on the panel?
Oh god, trying to think now back of the fitness sense. Probably Sarah, would you say, Sarah?
Yeah.
That's Sarah over this way in Clamore.
Yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me. and I won't ask who's the least fit. That wouldn't be a very fair question. What about who's the fastest? Who wins all the sprints?
Sarah Doyle.
All right.
Oh, she's rapid.
Yeah, Rachel or Sarah. Yeah.
And then when it comes to a night out, so say the celebrations there after winning the Division 4, comes to a night out, first lady on the dance floor? Maybe it's Ed.
Who was the first I'm trying to think?
Yeah, who even was it?
Oh, it's probably a few of the younger ones, I'd say now.
Right. And
Maeve O'Neill.
Okay. And then... And going along the same kind of theme then, if you're having a gym session or is there dressing before the matches, there tunes? Anyone in charge of tunes?
Oh yeah, there's great tunes in the dressing room.
We have a little like team song this year as well.
And what's that one?
Sunshine, my girl. Has to be played every time before a match or we're not playing a match.
It's a bit of a remix now, it's not like...
Put it on remix.
Give us a few bars of it there. We don't know it.
We're okay.
Oh, remember when Anthony Rainbow took over the lads team back in 2013, whatever it was, Thunderstruck was a big one. That doesn't feature for you guys, no?
That's in the playlist as well, yeah.
Go away, is it?
Yeah, it's on the playlist.
That's one of the classics, isn't it? Yeah. And then is there okay, what's the other ones you used to do? Best dancer. Is there a best dancer? First, Ella, it should be you. With all your stage schooling and tie showing and all that crack.
Barney Kearns. We'll give it to Barney. Barney is right.
In saying that, I remember circa 2006 seeing you in the Foundry dancing at Ella. You weren't a bad mover. Fairness.
Oh my god, no.
around those days. And then I think this is a fair one to do with lads, but we'll throw it out there. Best dress sense.
Oh.
Or most stylish, maybe is a nicer one rather than.
Ella is pretty stylish now. She's always lovely runner.
I've only ever seen her in like jerseys and shorts. So.
Jerseys and shorts, but when you come into the dressing room anyway, if you're going by runners, Ella always has a good pair of runners on her.
She gets that from the mother. I have a vision of like women arriving with like a boot bag, like a Louis Vuitton boot bag or something. That kind of crap doesn't go on, no?
No. Now there might be a few with a few nice little hairbrushes and a little bag now packed in and a few bits and pieces and the owl hair glue, do you know the mascaras for the hair and bits and pieces like that, but no, we carry the gear back.
I interviewed Marion Dyle from Meishel for the, I forget what, whether it was County Camogie or Meishel Camogie, but they were winning something anyway, and interviewing her and asking about superstitions. And one of the things they used to do back then was, I'm going to get the name wrong, was it a French plait? Or,
oh, yeah.
Where you twist the hair over and stuff. But, like, so if I remember correctly, they like, some girls would only go to, so, like, say if it was you two, Ella would only get her hair plaited by Adele and vice versa, because they did that the first day and the one, so they kept it, so the same person would do it. So, like, is there anyone superstitious, or does anyone have a, does everyone sit in the same place in the dressing room? Those kind of things. Anything that stands out?
I know Anne Roach and Niamh Ford sit together. I think that's a thing as well. The kind of, they're not superstitious, I think they're a bit superstitious maybe that way. And then it was actually funny just because my little bobbin, and this is only from my experience of it, and I put the pink bobbin in playing one day and we done well, and I was like, it's the pink bobbin, and I just had the head. So every game since, I wore the pink bobbin just in case. Yeah.
And
funny.
How about you, Elle? Any superstitions or things that you, that are,
no, I don't think so. I thought now it was my boots coming up this season. I was like, have to have the same pair of boots on, and then just before the final my boots actually burst on me, and the whole week I was like, oh my god, like, wear new boots in the final. But thank god we still won, so I don't think that's the one.
Was it James Clark, I think, used to wear, Clark used to wear 9 pairs of socks. Not it was superstition, whether maybe he just thought he could kick the ball further, I don't know, but I don't think I get 9 pairs of socks on my feet. That's an aside. And then talk to me then about, we mentioned about the, who did you say was late? Was it Niamh?
Maeve.
So who's first to show up every training? Obviously Ed, but of the players.
Elaine Weir, I'd say.
Yeah.
Definitely Elaine.
She does seem the type, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Although I do see her, she works there in town, and I do see her swanning around now at 3 o'clock of an afternoon. So she has time to be there early. Let's say. That's great. Okay. So then we have to give, I suppose, the management team credit. Talk to us. So Ed is obviously the boss. Talk to us about the backroom team. Is it very much a collective, or does Ed drive the whole thing himself? Talk to us about that. Start with you, Adele.
So yeah, there's Ed. Yeah, well, he kind of took more of, not of a, like, he kind of sits back and watches a lot more this year. So it's Kevin that takes us mostly for the forwards coaching, and then Sinead as well. So between the two of them, like, we'd kind of be doing drills with them and then games. Now Ed would have his input, all right. He'd be in and out, like, to us and saying what he wants and what he doesn't want, like, to backs and forwards. And then John then is the goalie coach as well. And then we have Sean, who is strength and conditioning. So he's always there as well. And then Louise does stats, and then we have our physio as well. So Kate. So between them all, and then Bernie is like the mammy then as well, going around making sure we'd be lost without Bernie, so we would.
Legend that is. And not to keep harping back to the old days, Adele, right? And forgive me for this, but I think it's important. when you first came on the Carlo scene, like, I'm assuming the idea of having a stats person would have been just non-existent.
Yeah, I think I was doing it the other day with Dara Walsh, and he was saying the same kind of question to me, like, and I just said back then, like, you just, it was even so much as bringing your boots in a plastic bag, like, you know, and you go into the dressing room and you'd be sitting, and I just remember Christine John, like, being such a role model for me, and like my Auntie Marion was playing at the time, and Maggie Doyle, and there was loads of them, Niamh Jobs there, and like, you were kind of going in and you just go in and sit down and put your head down nearly, you know, because they're all superior to you. And I suppose it's after coming up so much, it just, all the training would be, you'd be just going training under the one person and going home and training hard, obviously. But now it's like, there's so much difference, even in the last year, just say with trackers and you know, strength and conditioning and stats, and there's just so many different things like now towards years ago. So it's after like the ladies game has come on so much, and especially in the last couple of years, and like it's great to see, you know, it's amazing. And just a professional setup as well to be in after being probably not having that for so long. Like it's only really the last couple of years that we have had it. So yeah, it's a massive change.
Unreal. So then like Elle, you've obviously you're coming to a SID last 3 years and sort of getting that from the word go. Can you it's not really a fair question to ask you, but can you kind of appreciate the level of professionalism that's there, or does it just, and don't get me wrong, it should be the norm and absolutely is the norm, but when you hear Adele talking about, you know, one person doing the training and, you know, coming with a plastic boots and a plastic bag, like does that seem like a ancient history?
Well, obviously, even coming like from underage, it was the same, like one or two people training you, and like it's such a huge step up then to like a panel of management and then like all the technology and all we're obviously using now. Like I remember one of my first training sessions, I walked in and I was handed a tracker and I had a clue like what a tracker was, but like this, it's kind of the way we need to be doing, like using now to be able to progress. But it is great, like it's unreal to have the facilities as well, and like we'd honestly be lost without them, because like it's just such a good support for us. But yeah, as you said, like it should be the norm for us, so it is unreal that we even have the chance to use them.
Yeah like I remember talking to the likes of Colin Byrne and Brian Smith and a few of the Rafael lads when they were involved with the county minors in 2015, and it was a perishing cold night, like freezing cold night, and I was picking them up. Now the boys reckoned I was only a selector, so I'd been referee last to train, and that I shouldn't have been next to here, but that's near here or there. But I remember picking the lads up, and it was just one night anyway, and they were giving out stink about having to train in the cold and whatever. And the difference, so we were going down to Fenna and to these pitches that were, you know, pretty much you can play them all year round, and floodlights and all this. And, you know, back to the time when I was on the county minor panel, it was like that. Some weeks you train in PAL, some weeks you'd train in whatever pitch was available. But it was part of the management's job to probably spend most of the week ringing around trying to get a pitch. So to have that taken out of the equation now across the board is great. But then you guys still have that issue of looking for pitches, which is it still makes it hard for you to be as professional as the male counterparts, and yet you're the ones who've had the success this year, and you know we obviously want to wish the lads well, but you know it hasn't gone well for them this year. So maybe I'll be the first to make the case to say, right, we'll give you guys Fenner for the rest of the year, and the lads can go around looking for the pitches, like, you know. Yeah, so looking forward to back to the rest of the year. So did you say it's you've Kilkenny first?
No, we've Louth first. This weekend. Yeah.
And
so we've Louth at home, it's not so bad. We've Louth at home, then we have Longford away, then we've Kilkenny at home. So we've two home and one away, which isn't bad.
And how are you fixed for Louth? You've kind of had a 2 week break, so is it like first you're back on Friday and straight into a game? Is that kind of the setup?
Well, I suppose it's a very tight season and even year in general. So like we obviously needed a 2 week break after, like it's been a long time since November of getting to that league final. So like it's obviously not ideal that we're only coming back 2 days before a match, but there's honestly nothing we can do. Like it is a long time now until the middle of July when we're still playing championships. So we'll just hope our adrenaline rush is going to take us right through it.
But the way the structure is, it like it's not knockout. So, and it's you still have a long, you've still at least what 5-6 matches left in the season. So, if you were to try and win Division 4 and just back in training Tuesday night, you'd probably burn girls out, I suppose.
100%. Like, I think we've seven games in 8 weeks is a lot, and when you have a smaller panel of 25, you're trying to keep everyone right as well and keep everyone injury free. And I think we well needed the break now. There was probably a run sent out this week now beforehand, so it's not as if we're sitting tight doing nothing either, I suppose. But be good ball back in the hands now. That's what the trackers are for. You see, we can't get out of them now. We might have a few years ago, Brian, get out of them, but we can't now. Everything is tracked and recorded. So,
unreal. And then so Loud first, and then that kind of gets you up and running in championship. And talk to me about how the teams in the group rate. Where, having won Division 4, are you guys kind of expected to do well in that group, or are you up against? I remember going into a game in 2014, 2015, and Loud giving Carlo an awful going over. But has the gap closed there somewhat, or talk to me about that?
I think Loud, like, obviously they're coming down from intermediate back down to junior, so they're going to want to set a standard, I suppose, from the game on Sunday. They're come hard at it to win the game, you know. They're going to want to go straight back up this year, I suppose, like Sligo in the All-Ireland series as well. The two of those come down, but suppose Loud, look, if we perform and play well, there's no reason why we can't beat them, you know. And then Longford, then we drew, so in the league, like, which we probably underperformed that day as well, like, so there's nothing saying we can't, like, you know, we can't be there. I think it's tough to go straight to a final. I don't think there's semi-final, so we'll probably just take one game as it comes, you know, like we have done all year, and see how it goes after Sunday then.
Excellent. And with the young the younger players that are part of the panel, is there a certain amount of or is there a kind of a lack of baggage? You know, sometimes if you've a panel that have been there through like a lot of barren years, say, and there's nearly a feeling of not deserving success, is there a good cohort of youth there that they nearly, it's like not a cockiness, but or not a not like an assertiveness, or like a carefree sense of just they're not, no fear of losing, I suppose. Is that the way to phrase it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose. Look, you look at Maeve coming in, like, that day against Fermanagh and the last day against Limerick, and like, just, I suppose I was just thinking, after, if that was me that had got them balls, probably where she did, I probably would have drove them wide, like, you know, because you're just probably so. But she just comes in and she's just they can be so composed, but probably so carefree. They're just going to play football. They're going to play. They've nothing kind of hanging or hanging over them, as you have said. Like, so the girls just come in and get stuck in straight away, don't they? Like, even yourself there, yeah. Like, Ella just comes in and she just gets, like, I think you had to mark two big name players this year, like, and it's just like water off the duck's back. Oh, who is she? Grand, yeah, I go mark her, and away she goes, you know. It's just, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant, and it's what's needed, I suppose, as well. So that's really just this year as well, you know, in games.
Brilliant. And it's really not fair for me to do this. What year did you start with the senior panel, Idel?
2001.
Ella, what age were you in 2001?
I wasn't born.
That's saying something to me now, isn't it?
Yeah. But isn't that nuts? Like, you know, 2002 World Cup was a couple of years ago. Do you know what I mean? Like, how can someone? I don't know. It's just how can somebody be playing senior intercounty football and not be born by 2001? That's just blows my mind. No, listen, lads, look, we'll thanks so much for coming on. For those who'll be watching this back, the two women came on at 10 o'clock of a Monday night, so it's really appreciated. And if it means you're tired then for training Friday, you can tell that it's my fault. The very, like, on behalf of the people of Carlo, thank you for all you've done so far this year. Winning Division 4 is an incredible achievement. The very best luck in Leinster and in the All-Ireland Series. And I've no doubt Kev will be on to you again before the year is out, hopefully to talk about the next piece of silverware you've won. But for this evening, thanks a million to Idel and to Ella.
The Left Wing Back podcast is brought to you in association with Earth Spas, PFT Travel, Paddahorn Photography, Murray's Bar Ballymurphy, Ray Whelan Limited, Porritt Dunn Motors, Talbot Hotel Carlow, and Cora Sports.